Bus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. There will be a new face on the Blue Jackets bench in 2026. The team announced today former AHL Cleveland Monsters head coach Trent Vogelhuber will join Rick Bowness' staff as an assistant coach. The Dublin native went 145, 108, and 35 behind the Monsters bench. Capitals affiliated Hershey Bears assistant Nick Bootlin will take over as Cleveland's head coach. Tennis, 44-year-old Serena Williams opens Wimbledon play today at 12:10 versus Maya Joint, becoming the second oldest woman to compete in the Wimbledon main draw behind Martina Navratilova. It's her first singles match since the 2022 U.S. Open. Baseball, Columbus Clippers host the Louisville Bats on Diamond Dog Night at 7:05. In the majors, Guardians host the Rangers at 6:40. Cleveland one game back in Chicago for first in the AL Central. Reds visit the Brewers at 7:40. Cincinnati last in the NL Central. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, here we go. What do we got? Rando Tuesday style, Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes. And TLC behind the glass. Boys, how we doing?
What up? What up? Doing well. Doing well, my man. How you living today? You good?
Outstanding. Feeling good.
Love to hear it.
Inside. Cool. That's the good part.
It's no joke out there. It is no joke. You know you're in store for a hot one when you wake up, AR, and it's already 70-plus degrees at about 7 a.m. And so, yeah, it's a stay inside if you can. Feel the AC. Stay hydrated type of day. Cause it is, it's no joke out there. And tomorrow, maybe even worse. Crazy.
All right, so we're here for you. We got a nice show planned. We'll have our friend EJ Raddick from the NHL Network at 12:30. He's the analyst on NHL Now. EJ was the guy who was one of the founding fathers of ESPN, the Mag. He was a former senior writer for them. He's been on the program many times. We'll get what he's got going on Zach and the rest. We will have our friend Tyvis Powell at 1:30, and we'll have Ian Fitzsimmons back in at 2:30. He's the ESPN college football reporter and co-host of Amber and Ian, 8 to 10 in the evenings on ESPN Radio. We will get to some fun things today, including our follow-up from perhaps one of the most bizarre, kind of threw us off our game stories from our boy Danny in Delaware yesterday. And not only that, the story is that he had a buddy that he had affectionately nicknamed Country Club Carl, and then I added the spackler on the end to it, and about this dude, and we'll play the call later on in the 1 o'clock hour, about this dude that just through adversity, Shawshank Redemption style, was going to make it to the finish line and did, and supposedly he has now played associate producer for us and booked Country Club Carl onto the show at 1 p.m.
Let's go. I cannot wait to see how he executed this plan, because to me, he did complete the mission. Now, getting to the finish line, some choppy waters he had to work through, but I'm proud of Country Club Carl, and I can't wait to tell him that. And I cannot just wait to ask him about the details of what happened, why he felt so confident in doing what he did, and what happened the morning that he woke up when he stayed there. Got a lot of questions for Country Club Carl. Yeah. Should be interesting.
The evidence that was left behind.
Right.
Like, I mean, I don't know why. I mean, usually it's the, what's the rule on the, you know, get a free t-shirt kind of thing?
Oh, no, that may be new to me. Break that down for me.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, somebody might leave with a free t-shirt occasion.
Oh, okay. You're saying like when
he left something behind. It's like take a penny, leave a penny. This guy left a lot more than that.
So you're saying
in a trash can.
When there was reports about Derek Jeter, right? And he had some companions come through, that they would exit the premises with a nice basket. I don't know what was in the basket. There was
I do know one thing. Supposedly, I mean, this is all ego team, but he gave in the bag or basket was an autographed baseball. Like, I think pretty much you've, like at that point, does somebody, I mean, you've had an intimate moment. I don't know if that person gets a parting gift of an autographed. I don't know. He revealed the truth on this.
Yeah.
About his legendary gift basket story. We'll have to go through that because here's the story. I don't know if it's true. The captain. So Derek Jeter, considered to be, as everybody knows, one of the greatest baseball players in modern baseball history, and a beloved Yankee and all that. And he had an upcoming, this was about 4 or 5 years ago, he had a documentary. Did you watch it called The Captain?
I don't think I tapped into that.
Yeah, well, he finally addressed the infamous rumors about his romantic life that he gave gift baskets to one-night stands as parting gifts the morning after. Apparently, Country Club Carl left a gift. He leaves, but he leaves a gift behind.
Crazy.
Where Jeter was like, they leave and get a gift
to go.
Everybody goes.
Everybody out. Everybody out. Jeter's got the legendary dating infield meme that's going to live on forever that I don't know if anybody's ever going to be able to top that. When you look at it and you see Scarlett Johansson playing shortstop, Jessica Alba playing center field, and Mariah Carey in left.
Starting and playing. Batting third and playing center field.
AR, he's got Tyra Banks as his DH. That's when you know you're doing well, when Tyra Banks in her prime was your DH. Good for him. And he's got his wife now, I believe, is a former supermodel.
He is in the American League. What's that?
I believe his wife is a supermodel or former supermodel. He's lived a very, very good life, to say the least.
So, anyway, it's unbelievable. So, he allegedly... So, a friend... Let me go through this. So the author of this story wrote that the New York Post was contacted by a friend of a woman who had allegedly received not one but two baskets.
Yeah.
Because Jeter had forgotten he'd hooked up with her once before.
She spun the block.
I mean, we're already in double baskets.
She dorm stormed him, man. She had to go back.
It's a juicy piece of gossip that's followed him around for more than 10 years. So he finally breaks his silence and says the story is completely false. Okay. He says, yeah, I read the article. Yeah, of course. You know, you see it. And then it's like, how the blank did people come up with this? You know, basically that's it. And who would believe this blank? And you believed it? He continues on. I remember being at Starbucks one time and there's some random guy behind me. And he says, hey, I just want to let you know that I'm giving out gift baskets because of what you did. I learned it from watching you. And I turned around and said, you're a blanket idiot. That's a Jeter saying to this guy. And the look on his face, like, did he think I was going to say, yeah, good job, man? Did he think I was going to give him a...
Very proud of you. That's very nice.
And did he really think he was going to do that? So the gift basket story could be one of the most ridiculous and well-known pieces of, like, urban legend from the last 15 years. And now maybe he's poured water all over it, and it's not true.
I hope that it is true. I hope that this did happen. And I'm also thinking about this.
Gift basket. It does seem...
It's a little corny. It definitely is. But Derek Jeter, AR, may have lived the best on-field and off-field life of any athlete in the history of sports. Honestly. Mm. When you think about who he dated, but you also think about what he did individually as a player, the position that he played in, the team that he played for. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's
the Columbus Clippers?
That too.
Okay.
Getting busy on Diamond Dog Night, right around the corner from us. But I think we'd be hard-pressed to find a guy or gal that's an athlete that had a better on-field and off-the-field career than one Derek Jeter. Yeah. No drama.
Yeah, you could make the case that Travis is about to... maybe knock him off the perch. Mm-hmm. Kelsey.
But Travis doesn't have dating history.
Well, if
that's so elite.
I understand that. That's
so elite for Derek Jeter.
All right, I've got to get to this real fast. More on the saga of Diana Russini.
She's back, huh?
Well, she's not. Well, thank you.
Like sand through the hourglass. So the days of our
indeed so
what's she up to
a
now,
while AR? Back she claimed that she got out of a moving violation. She was texting while driving wasn't hands-free. I don't know the exact story, and she for months she shared a story publicly that she got pulled over by a cop and she started dropping names to the cop. by saying, hey, who's your favorite team? And
oh, I have the audio.
Oh, you have the audio. Mm-hmm.
Now, it's 2 minutes, so we may want to push it to the next segment.
Let's definitely push it to the next segment.
It is must listen.
We've got body cam audio here.
Well, this is Rothman we're talking about, yeah, so of course he found this footage.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is and how he spends his nights in bed.
By the way, on Friday, I brought a body cam video to the show that nobody knew about. Mm-hmm. It was Joey Chestnut, who's about ready to defend his mustard belt.
What'd he do?
He beat up somebody who didn't recognize him as a celebrity.
Allegedly, he slapped a kid in a bar.
He put the paws on somebody.
Who may not have given him the proper homage.
Mr. Chestnut?
Possibly. No, he just didn't even say anything.
Oh, so he
was... A buddy of his went over, and then the other kid stayed because he's like, I don't want to bother a celebrity. I know who he is, but...
So Joey went, what do five fingers say to the face on somebody?
Yeah, but not only that, because he shook hands with the left, which was a grizzled, savvy veteran move, so he could free up the right to slap the guy.
Okay, and again, run by me his reason why he slapped him.
He doesn't remember.
Oh, he was lit. Yes. A little saucy.
That he does remember.
Okay,
he remembers that he doesn't remember. So let me set this up for you.
Yeah.
So for months, she's been claiming in a little bit of a humble brag that she got out of a ticket by FaceTiming an NFL coach during the traffic stop.
Okay.
That part has now been debunked. Like, that is,
gotcha.
The FaceTime never happened. She may have produced a text with a name of a coach there, and it worked. But it's one of those things when you're a reporter and you forget that everything is being recorded is interesting to me. And that she's been caught twice in that now. Recently, she called to try to get a story squashed, and that didn't work either. Okay. And that was being recorded, or at least quoted. But we'll play that for you next. And also, we are getting into a little bit of distraction zone, and we'll find out whether the Blue Jackets feel like they want to avoid that as well. That's next, Off and Running Rothman Association.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
The official heat wave has begun with heat alerts in place this afternoon, and feels like we'll be well into the triple digits. That sunshine turns to mostly clear skies tonight with not much recovery as lows get down into the 70s and even hotter on Wednesday with plenty of sunshine and feels like temperatures getting up around 105 degrees. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bobby Carpenter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on The Fan app.
Matty promises he'll continue to do the show even if he wins the lottery. If only we believed him. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, so no truth to the rumor that I was the Viking fan that had anything to do with this. J.J. McCarthy is catching strays from Diana Russini. And I'm not saying that people don't try to talk their way out of tickets. They do. Or give at least some reason.
Yeah.
Because when you get pulled over, a lot of the time, the first thing is, all right, license, registration, insurance. Like, out of the gate. Before you're even told, you probably know why you got pulled over, but they don't have to tell you right away. Just license, registration, insurance. And then I think once you produce that, they're more than willing to tell you why. But a lot of times they'll say, do you know why I stopped you? Get you talking. Let's hear what you have to say.
It's amazing that you got you've got this verbiage just down pat just because of your dedication
honestly,
body cam videos that you watch all the time.
And it doesn't, and they're all different.
I actually think you would be a very good policeman I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
No nonsense. Just
fair.
On it, locked in,
it's fair.
I think you would be a great, great policeman.
Thanks, man.
In your next life, you know?
Next life.
You come back and you pull TLC over and you hand him a ticket. I think that'd make you feel good.
Or maybe I let him go. I don't know. It's my discretion. We'll see. I'll run it. I'll run his ID and then we'll see.
TLC,
he's a dog cop.
Well, he's been caught. we'll see what he's been caught up in, where his history is. So anyway, Diana Rossini gets pulled over, and people are calling her out for two reasons. One, for name dropping, but that's fine. And then the other is, you lied. You said you FaceTimed a coach. You never FaceTimed a coach. Here's the audio.
Officer Bernard, Ridge of Police, you've been recording my body camera. Can I just get your driver's license, registration, proof of insurance, please?
So, you're not going to care. I'm an NFL reporter. Mm-hmm. I just wrote that Sean McDermott got fired from the Bills, and that is what I was just sending to send a tweet. I was going to pull over because I have to make calls.
Okay.
I know you don't care, but I'm just letting you know my reason why.
Okay.
It was a work thing, and it was an emergency for what I did.
Yeah.
And I've never gotten to.
Okay. So, obviously, you were on your phone for a while, right? I was on, when you went under the underpass, right? On Garber Square, I was by Library Place. So, you're on your phone there. I got behind you, right, by Whole Foods. Yeah. Continue to be on your phone, right? I understand you have a job.
Of all times. It's like, no one expects me to go ahead.
Yeah.
Like, I'm shocked. They fired me. I cannot believe it. You know who was on the phone with?
Who?
Brian Gable. He's the boss of the Giants.
Oh, okay.
Are you a fan of Giants or Jets?
I'm not a fan of either.
What is your team?
I'm a Vikings fan, unfortunately.
Can you see the name?
Oh my god. KOC?
See what I said? Look what I said to him though just now. Go to the bottom.
Oh my god. Wow. Pretty cool.
Dude, I love the Vikings. KOC's awesome.
Yeah. He seems like a good
dude. Your quarterback sucks, though.
Yeah, so he's got to fix it. He's got to turn around or someone else is going to get him. Do you have your registration as well? That's what I was going to ask next, is like, have you ever gotten points, anything like that? No? No? All right. So, listen, I'm going to cut you a break on the cell phone. I understand your job requires you to be on the phone a lot. Just try to wait till you get home, okay? Yeah, keep me updated with the Vikings, okay? Let me know if KLC's going to get a new quarterback in. Of course. All right, man. Take care.
First of all, he's earned the right to not have to follow her on Twitter to get that info. That's number one. He just let her off. Number two, I did not hear originally that he told her, and they all do. Everything's being visually and audio recorded. So she knew, or at least unless she wasn't listening. The other thing is, I'm sorry, that's not an emergency. And if it is, you do have to pull over. Like, honestly, she got him talking. She lucked out and found a sports fan.
Pulled at his heartstrings with the Vikings
play. What team?
Look at this. Look at my phone.
Why didn't you just tell me the team that you like?
That's KOC. It's my head coach.
Wow. And your quarterback sucks. Thanks, Diana.
She went full TLC on that. Because TLC was one of the first people I've heard say that he thinks he sucks. Diana Rossini, an NFL reporter, saying J.J. McCarthy sucks is unbelievable.
I mean, it's 7 minutes and 10 seconds. And it reveals that she didn't call anybody.
If she didn't show him the text from KOC, does she get off the hook? Because with the way that thing was either edited or whatever,
I think she does, and I'll tell you why. He asked, first of all, he wanted to know her history of driving. Do you have any points? I mean, he could look that up. Probably should.
Yeah.
And not just take her word for it. I'm going to assume he did. He ran her license. I don't know if we get the whole thing. But I think that was the reason. If it's true that she'd never been pulled, been pulled over in forever and had no points against her license, he cut her a warning. Now, I don't know if he gave her a written warning. Didn't sound like. It sounded like he gave her a verbal warning and sent her on her way. But it's not an emergency for my job. And if it is, find a place to pull over. He could have easily given her a ticket. But I agree with you. She worked him.
She did.
Yeah.
She knew in her mind, hey, in my text log, I got his head coach. I can show him that I'm cool with his head coach. And in my mind, it worked. But my goodness, I mean, The year that this woman is having is pretty wild. And just this onion that just continues to just be peeled apart, just layer after layer when it comes to Diana Rossini is pretty wild, because it just seems like it's never ending. And unfortunately for her, it seems like she's dealing with a lot more of the smoke than Vrabes has to in this. And I'm not saying whether that's right or wrong. I don't know. But it seems like it's all football, we're moving on, and now her whole life is getting unpacked and all these things are being brought to the surface. It's nuts. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yeah. But I think the reason this hit is because of who it is, the year she's had, and also is that she had gone public that she had FaceTimed the coach. Well, maybe I'm not seeing all of it. Maybe there was more to it. Maybe she did. I mean,
maybe there's another one.
Yeah, but it wasn't in Minnesota, though. Like,
no, that was in New Jersey.
Yeah, she got pulled over in New Jersey, and she started talking. You notice how she started talking Giants and Jets right away, and then you heard him say, "I don't care about those teams."
Yeah.
Well, who is your team? Because I got them all.
The Vikings got.
I got them all right here.
Here's what I do know. If she enters back into the NFL reporting world ever, she's never getting anything from J.J. McCarthy.
J.J.'s going to...
He ain't giving her anything.
Or Brian Daboll.
TLC, you know that scene in Rudy where he's not playing at Notre Dame yet and he's going to paint the helmets and he meets that cute girl who is like...
And he accidentally spills it?
He writes for the... No, he kind of tells her, but... And then she doesn't really believe that he's playing for them. And then she shows up to some practice and he's there. And then a ball kind of rolls over there and he's like how's it going or whatever? Yeah. It's a great scene. And that's kind of, Maddie, do you remember when Laura Rutledge was zinged with a football doing the report for the back? Or was it a college game? Or
Pam Oliver's got one of those too, right?
Great theme. Awesome. Yeah. So I feel, and you can keep the music going, I feel like if Diana Rossini ever gets back into the game and is sideline reporting for anybody, and it's a Viking game or wherever J.J. McCarthy is rostered, he is going to be targeting one receiver, and it's not going to be anyone wearing a uniform.
And she might say, good luck, you suck, your accuracy isn't good enough to hit
me anyway.
It was good
from 38 yards on your noggin. That's probably where this is headed. That's the next part of the saga.
The fact that it worked out, does that still make this shameless, or is she justified? Because she got out of the ticket.
She didn't. From what I heard, she didn't ask to be let out of the ticket. She just explained.
She was working it,
Yes, but she explained it. She even said, I know you don't care, but I just want to let you know why. Because a lot of cops will ask, why? Where are you coming from? What's they'll say.
Are you speaking from experience?
No, a lot of body cam.
Studies the film.
And
studies the tape.
Is there any reason for you driving like this? Is there any reason for you speeding the way you're speeding?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people offered that up. And
I think you mentioned this off the top. I think a lot of people, when you're in that situation, your mind goes to, how can I get out of this? Any excuse that I can come up with that sounds reasonable, I'm going to try to run it by law enforcement and see if it works out for me. I can't knock her for doing that because I have to imagine there's a lot of people that have done that already. And are willing to try to do that as well to get off the hook.
It's a fine line because I think most cops would say, be honest. Just be honest. Well, just say, you know what? I have no excuse. I'm honestly, that's the way to go. Because I think if you lay it on too thick, you're getting it. And she found the right guy. She found the right cop.
Viking fan.
She found a Viking fan in New Jersey. By the way, did he have to drop the unfortunately? Jeez.
Some tough times.
Just say you're a Viking.
It's real.
Fan.
Tough times for you guys.
That was amazing. That was,
by the way, was he tipped his hand. Play. When he said, unfortunately, she knew she had him.
Oh, that's a, what on earth? Who?
That's EJ Riley. Probably
EJ calling.
He's on time.
Actually, he's on time.
Probably is, to be honest with you.
I'm sure it is. All right, we're coming back. We'll get the insight on Zach and where it stands from EJ next. Rothman and Ice.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan.
Oh, the summer drama continues. And I will tell you that there is a lot of smoke, but the smoke keeps billowing because if this was totally BS, Zach would be out with something. Don would have told me last week that there's nothing to it, and they're not. It's all quiet on the Western Front, and that's not great. Our friend EJ Raddick, who's been a friend of our program for a while, really nice of him to jump on from the NHL Network, analyst on NHL Now and a lot more. And he's on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. My man, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Nice to be with you. Yeah, it's a little it's noisy around the league and certainly noisy in Columbus.
Yeah, we have a Norris Trophy Award winner for sale, apparently. And that's you know what that can do. That can provide a lot of ammo if they want to, you know, trade him now or get a bidding war going with the teams that maybe he gave them. But give me your read on this. Did this catch you off guard with 2 years left on his deal?
Well, I don't know about off guard. I mean, I know that, you know, this has been, we've seen these guys, especially these guys who were part of that Team USA at the Olympics and the Four Nations have, you know, that's been something that's brewing that maybe some of them want to change places or they want to join forces or whatever you want to call it. I mean, I just think this is going to go three ways. I mean, I think it could go status quo this year and you deal with the noise. Unlikely. I think you could put your, Donnie Waddell could put his flag in the ground and say, you know, and try to maybe call the Red Wings and say, listen, you're trading Dylan Larkin. We want him. We'll give you Fantilli. We'll give you maybe something else. We'll figure it out. But we're going to make a statement that, you know, we're a destination and we're going to try to get Zach and the player back together and their friends. And, you know, maybe we start to become a destination for people because we don't want to be the off ramp on the highway where we draft and develop players. And then when they're ready to leave or they want to go, they leave. So, you know, you get Larkin from Detroit, you have Werenski, you start making a statement that, hey, we want to be a player. And then the third option is the third route is to just find the best bidder and trade him. And I think based on what I'm hearing, I mean, the Dallas Stars would probably be the best suitor with Thomas Harley to offer. That gives you a really good player that's locked up for a long time. Maybe you get a couple other things out of them. They would probably look to move one or two other pieces because they probably would then want to try to sign Jason Robertson. So, you know, maybe that's the option. But I mean, I think those are the three paths right now. The most likely seems to be trading them. But, you know, I would make that call to Steve Yzerman and, you know, to see what I could do because I know those guys are friends. Larkin and Werenski are pretty good friends. And, you know, maybe you could make it a destination spot. You know, again, change the dynamic around the Columbus Blue Jackets.
EJ, how are you feeling about the overall direction of the franchise right now? Obviously, losing a player like Z is not a path you want to go down, but it feels to me like it's time to do it. But just big picture right now, when you look at the talent that they have, both on the youth and all of that, how are you feeling about the direction of the Columbus Blue Jackets at the moment?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say because, like, I liked at the draft, they drafted Oscar Hemming in the first round, 14th overall. He is a big kid, and he looks like he's got some ability. And they got some younger players there that, you know, they've drafted and developed that have a chance to get better. But the problem is, every time we get to the stage when they have an ability to choose, they leave. I mean, go through the history. It's not surprised. I mean, it's nothing new. So, like I said, I mean, to me, at some point in time, you do have to try to make a statement that we're a destination and not just a way station for people. So, you know, like I said, I like some of the younger players, but I mean, Zach Werenski's a pretty big piece, just won the Norris Trophy. And all that said, I mean, he didn't play great down the stretch, but several guys didn't either. But, you know, for me, it just seems like it's a cycle that's going to continue. There's 32 teams in this league. There's soon to be more down the road. And it's going to be hard to win. And if you're not all in all the time to get players and keep players there and become a destination for players, you're going to have a long stretch of time, years and years, decades perhaps, where you're not a factor.
There's a little awkwardness to this in that you don't have to do this now. He's got 2 years left, so that helps you in if you wanted to put him on the ice. But the major distraction, it could be the potential injury risk, whatever that is, but they don't really have to do this. Now, if he gets an offer that blows him away, he'll probably do it. I was interested, you know, your Larkin thing was interesting to me, but that would be Zach selling him because he's got a no move. So I don't know why Lark would want to come here unless Zach was selling him on, hey, we're close. I want to make it happen here. I think there'd be more smoke if they could, because it's not like the Jackets could get the Red Wings to trade Larkin because he'd have to waive it.
Yeah. No, listen, he would have to waive it. There's no question about it. But again, I mean, if these guys want to play together and they think that being together, they have a chance to win. I know Zach likes being in Columbus. I don't know him all that well, but I know people around him and they say that he really enjoys living there.
He does.
And, you know, Dylan Larkin is, you know, right down the road. It wouldn't be a big life-changing experience to move from, you know, from the Detroit area into the Columbus area. So, sometimes you got to put your money where your mouth is. If that's where you want to be, you got your friend there, we can make it a destination. Maybe there's other guys we can get down the road to come here. It's a great place to live. A new start for you. We're together. I mean, you can make your pitch. I'm not saying that he's going to agree to it. But like when you look at the Larkin situation, where's he going? He's got 5 years left on a contract. Like the Columbus Blue Jackets have something significant they could offer if they wanted to. They could offer Fantilli. Now, it's not ideal to trade away a good young player, but it's a way to try to make a statement that we're in it right now. Yeah. And this is the prime of these guys' career. And then you make some moves around that. All of a sudden, now you're a little bit more appealing, maybe, to players. So, I mean, it's like I said, it's not something that I'm saying it could definitely happen. But I think it's something you investigate as an option to keep the guy there. I mean, you want to keep a Norris Trophy player there. You want to go out and get a really good player. You want to send a message again. So we're not just going to trade off guys. We're going to be in the battle for these players. So you're right. Larkin would have to agree to it. I don't know if he would. I don't know if Yzerman likes Fantilli all that much. I don't even know if he can make a deal. But they're in a tough spot there. There's no question about it. And to your point of keeping him for 2 years, does that really seem like a path that's going to make sense for anybody? Because all it's going to be night after night is, when is he leaving and where is he going?
Right, yeah, no doubt.
And so that doesn't seem like an option either. So that brings us to that third path of trading him. If you can get Thomas Harley, and I think you can, Dallas is in a tough spot too, because the Jason Robertson thing has them in a tough place. They need to clear some room. Harley is just starting a contract, but it's a significant contract. I believe it's $10+ million a year. So if they were to move him and then let's say throw in an Ilya Lyubushkin as a right shot defenseman, maybe they give you another younger piece. They've cleared some money out. They could then sign Robertson. They could deal with Werenski next year when the cap goes up another $10 million and they get Tyler Seguin's $9.7 off the books. They'd be in a lot better situation. So it works a lot for Dallas. So if the end game here is that we're going to have to trade him, to me, Thomas Harley, if he's available, is likely the best thing because he is under contract for 8 years moving forward.
It's really good stuff. And you guys can catch more of EJ Raddick on the NHL Network when they start their free agency tomorrow on the NHL Network at 11 a.m. So catch EJ on NHL tonight, tomorrow again at 11 a.m. for more coverage on Z and free agency.
Thanks, CJ. We'll be watching you, man. We appreciate this.
All right. Hang in there, my friend.
We'll hang in.
Columbus is a great spot. I'd like to see you guys get better luck.
I appreciate it. Thanks, my man. Talk to
all
you
right,
soon.
See ya.
EJ Raddick, NHL Network on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. It just doesn't seem like that's the path. If you could, because if Zach's got to be the guy that intimates that he wants to be her long term. And if that's the case, he can't sign an extension now anyway.
Right.
So that's not even the important part. It's about finding out. And apparently, if you believe the reports, that they found out he has no intention of doing that in 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, or even in a year from now. So that's an issue. And then we've got a cap space. We're not like incredible cap space. There's enough, but it gets eaten up really fast. Fance is going to get his cash. Silly. Jets due for a raise. Mm-hmm. And you can try to negotiate that all you want, but if he thinks he's a starter, he's going to get 4 to 5. Like, it's that cap gets eaten up real fast. And when you're not a true cup contender and you have to sign guys, it gets eaten up. And I hate the fact that the goal again is just make the playoffs. Like, that seems to be the line. It's usually they start the year with, like, we're going to go try to win a cup.
I think
now it's the ultimate goal is to get back into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's just the reality of where we are right now, right? Just been on the outside looking in far too much and far too often. So just getting back there feels appropriate to me in the same way it felt appropriate when we talked about the Buckeye basketball team. Just getting to the dance. You got to start somewhere before you start thinking about winning the Stanley Cup trophy.
Well, the relationship sounds a little fractured right now. And so this has been a report for almost a week now, and nobody has put it to bed.
Right.
Nobody that matters. Mm-mm. Not Zach, not Don with me. Like, no one's put it to bed. And so do you want to avoid icing a player who's a major distraction? 2 years left gives them that out if they don't want to move him now. They don't have to. They could have him for a season and then deal with it next offseason.
I don't like living in that world, AR. That's just a dark cloud that follows you everywhere every single day.
Of course, and that's why I think this is being sped up.
Yeah,
you don't have to, but it avoids all that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll keep on it. And there's another player. He hasn't said where he's going, but he has said where he doesn't want to go. That's next. Rothman and I.
CUA.
Reds are on the Fan's family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The best teams don't always win titles.
Sounds like AR and Maddie bragging about their fantasy teams.
Hey, that's cheating.
This is Rothman and Ice.
So it's weird because I feel like there's a lot of emotion in this, and maybe, like, I'm trying to come up with the percentage of emotion for fans versus legitimate, you want this dude on your team. And I'm talking about one LeBron James. LeBron James, he's 41. Now, is he much better than any 41-year-old you could ever find? Of course, he is. And there's a pivotal free agency time, and we just learned within the last 20 minutes that he has crossed a team off the list.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there'll be a liquidation sale of his Laker gear.
He gone.
Which is a big one to knock off the table, I believe.
Yes.
If you're one of those Cleveland fans that have emotion invested in him bookending his career and coming full circle and ending it where it began. And I think there are a lot of Cavs fans that like that. Can you answer my first question?
Sure.
Or at least give me your analysis on this.
Yes.
What percentage would you put on Cav fan that wants him back for that reason versus the real legit basketball reason?
I would have to guess that the emotion right now is outweighing what they think he is as a player, even though he's still a top 20 player right now at 41 years old. So I think the emotion, I think, is going to outweigh the player part of it. Did I answer your question directly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where I think they are right now.
What percentage did you put on it?
I didn't give you a percentage. Yeah. I think emotion would outweigh it right now probably 70-30.
It's a potential pull over there, loose cannon. If I'm thinking on my feet right now while I'm sitting down,
that's pretty good.
I feel like there's a potential pull there. I'm not sure how to craft it yet.
Basically,
it's like dear Cavs fan.
So I think this
would you want LeBron back for nostalgic reasons or basketball reasons? Because this would be the third time.
This would be the third time.
Right? So
And so I think Luka's very happy about this because now Luka gets to run the entire show out there in L.A. We got the rumor that popped up yesterday about the whole Golden State thing, which I am highly in favor of for entertainment purposes only. And for the folks that may have missed that yesterday, Draymond Green opts out of his current deal. Shams Charania of ESPN reports the reason why Draymond did that is because the thought is that LeBron, Steph, Draymond, and Anthony Davis want to get together out in Golden State. Golden State would trade for Anthony Davis. At the time yesterday, we didn't know what LeBron would do. Now we know he's a clear, unrestricted free agent. And so what this is going to come down to, I think, for LeBron is whether or not he's going to accept the mid-level exception type of contract, which he's never done, which he never should do because he's LeBron.
Well, he should do if he wants to get into a certain situation of trying to win a fifth title.
Sure, but I guess which is how good of a player he is and what he means to economies and where he goes. He's clearly, we all know, worth more than $15 million. And so I want to see that. I do. Like, my ranking of what I wanted to see for the third time prior to this news was the UNC super team in Golden State, then him coming back to Cleveland, and then him going to Miami, and then him going to the Lakers. That was my order. So I'm glad that the Lakers thing is done. The Cleveland thing for us locally would be fun to talk about a lot, but man, those four getting together, former rivals linking up, as just the OGs at the Y, I think would be awesome to see.
So in my mind, if I'm him and his team, this is about a couple things. How important is it that I end my career in Cleveland? And that's only something he would know. The other part of that is, are we legit when I go there? Them retaining Harden. I mean, every Cavs fan CB wanted to drive him to the airport about 8 years ago. But I mean, they do have a roster that would be a title contender. Now, they got blitzed by the Knicks.
Yeah.
You know, you add him, but it's a different scenario. So you have two things. Then the third one for me is, how important is it for him to win a fifth title? To be Magic? To be Kobe? To be Duncan? Like, how important is that? And then where can I get that done the most?
Yeah.
Or where are the odds? Because I'm not getting to MJ. I'm not getting to Kareem. He doesn't need to.
Yeah. He's in the minds of a lot beyond those players without the same amount of championships.
So you're saying
the
NBA title is maybe not?
No, because I think either pathway to him, you can get a pretty good feel of, hey, if we get to the postseason healthy, we can make noise. Either Golden State, in my mind, or Cleveland. The downside with the Golden State scenario is obviously how old they are and can those guys get through a regular season
almost done,
healthy and all of that. But the funny part is the guy you're worried about the most is the youngest of the four, and Anthony Davis with his injury history. And so it'll be
LeBron.
It'll be
Jimmy.
Jimmy's going to be gone.
Jimmy
is how I think they can get Anthony Davis. They'll trade him to Washington. They'll buy out his contract. He'll be a free agent.
Oh, so there wouldn't be a big four.
No, I think what their idea is, based off the reporting, it's Steph, LeBron, Draymond, and AD.
You know what it does allow, though? Allows him to stay in Cali. I don't know how important that is for him and family and the factor. Yeah. I wouldn't know. You wouldn't know.
Yeah.
But if it's for 1 year, then I think he could probably do Cleveland and bring it all back full circle.
I think we're all going to win either way. Cleveland is ideal for us and where we are. But I just think for the sport, this is going to be crazy just to see his last decision that he's ever going to make.
It's crazy.
In what team he plays for, because he can still go. He can still go. And so he's going to help whatever team he goes to. But yeah, it's official. The Laker chapter is over. He is now a free agent. And it's no surprise that Draymond makes that move. And this report is out there because LeBron, AD, and Draymond are all under the Clutch agency. So these guys are working together behind the scenes to make it happen. Can they do it? We shall see, because like you said, they're going to have to take less money. But I think it would be fun to see, you know, that unit go up against the Spurs, Oklahoma City, and Minnesota out west to see if the Unks can get it done.
We come back, top of the hour. Second hour includes the call that ends it all. We had one yesterday, and the follow-up happens next. Rothman and
Better.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. King James will have a new castle in 2026. Per ESPN's Shams Charania, LeBron James informed the Lakers he plans to play elsewhere next season. On Monday, Charania reported the Warriors plan to pursue him when the free agency window opens tonight starting at 6, while league sources told the NBA on Prime Video's Chris Haynes the Cavaliers have interest in a second reunion with James. From the NHL, Blue Jackets named Trent Vogelhuber an assistant coach. The Dublin native went 145-108-35 as head coach of the Cleveland Monsters, Columbus's AHL affiliate. Tennis, 44-year-old Serena Williams Wimbledon opener against Maya Joint is backed up to 145 today. It's Williams' first singles match since the 2022 U.S. Open. This update sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty for a cash offer. 614-472-000. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Anthony's hidden talent is weaving a movie quote into every conversation. It's mostly not annoying. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Second hour of the program, Rothman and Ice. Tyvis Powell at 1:30. And we take you back in time. One day. So on Mondays, we do The Floor Is Yours. Open it up for some calls. Hand out a nice gift card, and everybody goes about their day. Fun little segment for us, yeah. And it's support from you guys, and it's been good.
It's been fun.
And
a lot of fun.
We have a local legend in Danny from Delaware, and he provides some great comic relief for us.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought a story to the table yesterday that got us all talking about whether, A, we believed it, and B, if we did believe it, how we would have done it differently and how we couldn't believe. And it kind of launched a second legend in the story, which as he dubbed, as you'll hear, Country Club Carl. So we're going to play that soundbite here or that call in a second. And then I'm just going to get either a thumbs up or a nod from you. You do have Country Club Carl on hold right now in the queue.
He's in the building?
Country Club Carl is not in the building, but he is on hold. And as he's on hold, I will remind him, we are on radio. We are not a podcast, so don't swear. I should have said that when I got him on hold, but I'm saying it now.
Maddie said, is he in the building? Seal up all the trash can, all the trash compactors.
And get out the Febreze.
Oh, it's going to be like lilacs in springtime. Country Club Carl. Yes, let's go.
Here we go.
So I get a group chat with some buddies, and we're scattered all across the country. And one guy in particular, well, for the sake of privacy, we're going to call him Country Club Carl. So Carl had a date this past Friday with a nice lady, and on the way home, back to her apartment, started feeling a little bubbly in his stomach. We all know that feeling, especially when you're on a date with a new girl. Your stomach starts cramping. You get a little uncomfortable. So either way, they get back to her apartment. He gets out of the car thinking he's going to let out a little bit of air, and he poops his pants. So I was always told, never trust a fart after 40. He needs to realize that.
Mm.
So instead of getting back in the car and driving home, Carl went up to the one-bedroom, one-bath apartment, proceeds to go into the bathroom, take off them dirty drawers, and he throws them in her tiny trash can and buries the evidence in a pile of toilet paper. To put the cherry on top of this lovely story, this guy cleans himself up, goes out, and accomplishes what he came there to do. So, pat on the back for that.
I mean, you kind of hear me saying, no way. Like, to hide the evidence, first of all, I missed in the original call that it's a one-bedroom, one-bath. This is like a studio.
And
like,
now,
there's nowhere to hide.
We have to ask him, because Danny said that he cleaned himself up. What'd that look like? A quick rinse in the shower? Like, I got questions to ask Country Club Carl.
Some sort of bidet?
Well, he's on.
All right, so Carl Spackler, the Cinderella story, is on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems, shut down all the trash compactors on the detention level fan line.
What up, Carl?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're outstanding. We're better and worse for hearing this story. If that's possible.
Carl, can I ask you this?
Now, if that helps.
Let me ask you this out of the gate, sir. Was this a first date?
Yeah, no, great question. And, you know, again, my identity remains anonymous. This was not a first date. This is what those in The Sopranos would call the Gumar. So,
wow. All right.
Yeah, so okay. Someone that we have occasional...
As the young kids would say, a side piece.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So it wasn't new, but the rest of the story is 100% true.
Real quick, Carl, want to clean that up for you. You don't have a girlfriend, correct? This girl isn't your side piece, right? I'm just trying to help you out.
No, he does. Oh. He said, yeah.
I do. Yeah. A long-distance girlfriend. And so I need, every man has needs.
Yeah.
And so I keep something local. I thought I heard the term. Maybe he was on a cold spell. I don't have cold spells, but...
love that. So Carl, you're in an open relationship.
Long distance. Well, I don't know about that.
No, it's not open. I don't... For the kids at home, I don't advise this, but here we are. What? So
now let me ask you this.
You've got to be discreet.
So you don't have a 614 area code. Are you in the Columbus metro area or not?
I am not.
Okay.
I'm not.
So that's good. So we're hiding in plain sight. So he can be as honest as possible without giving his name.
That's new. Okay. I didn't know that. Okay. Now, Carl, the way your buddy described it is that you just left the dirty drawers in the trash can. Is that accurate? And did you leave them there for the entire night?
Oh, boys, you ready for this one? So that is accurate, yes. I felt this rumble when we were still at the restaurant, and so I kind of ignored it, and that was, that was a poor decision. So I felt it on the way there. We're clenching the whole 10-minute drive back to her place. She tells me she has to use the restroom. I said, I have to use the restroom. She lets me go first. To where I just, I let it rip, took them off, tossed them in this tiny trash can, covered them up as much as I could with toilet paper, cleaned up, and then she walked in right there after. So there was no secrets of what happened there other than the secret that remains in the trash can. Now, the funny part of the story, if you can imagine, is that I went back there the next day. And spent the afternoon together. I checked. The guys actually gave me the idea, should I extract these and try to hide them in a bag and pull them out the next day, which I didn't. I checked. I confirmed they still sat there.
Come on, man.
I swear to God, spent the whole day together, left, and I will see her again tonight, gentlemen. So, what I'd say is dream big. Dream big.
You're a legend, Carl.
I mean, this is almost like, honestly, I'm now starting to believe that, first of all, your legendary status has just jumped another level. But this is almost like someone wanting a game-used uniform. Like, that's what it feels like. He might have to sign these.
They're jersey swapping.
Like, she clearly wants the game-used uni. Like, it's unbelievable. I had so many reasons to not believe you, but hearing you, I have no reason to not believe it now.
Carl, here's my thing, though, is now that you're saying this happens about once a week, if your stomach was up, it's not like this was your only chance to do this. Why didn't you just cancel and be like, hey, tonight's not the night my stomach is off, but we know we're hanging out next week?
The stomach wasn't off until I paid the tab at the restaurant. So I was good up until then.
Wait.
I viewed it as a point of no return.
It was a game time decision. And,
so this isn't just like a friends with benefits. Like you're actually taking this girl on dates.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'm a respectful guy, so I'm going to take her out and take her to dinner.
Your first girlfriend might disagree,
but she might disagree. Yeah.
This is
amazing. Does this one know you're in a relationship of some kind, even long distance?
Yes.
She does. Okay.
Yeah, fully aware, but very transparent.
Mm. Well, with her at least.
Now the degree of which maybe I let on the health of my current relationship isn't as
okay.
Maybe I told her it wasn't as healthy as it is, but she's fully aware. There's no secrets here, and the only secret remains in her trash can.
Yeah, so you're a restricted free agent.
That's right. I'd be lying if I said I haven't been worried that I was going to get a text message asking me what the hell. But here we are 4 days later or so, and another rendezvous set for this evening. So right now, I think we're in the clear, boys.
Wait, so what are you more afraid of getting discovered, that you have a side piece or that's sitting in the trash can?
Oh, the side piece for sure. Yeah, okay. My girlfriend kicked my butt. And then which one of those things, it's kind of like you're playing with house money, right? Like, the way I viewed it was, hey, this might be the last time I see her. And if it had, that's the case, you know, I can handle that.
Have you ever seen Along Came Polly?
I have, and yes, it does remind me of that scene very much.
Were you praying for anything else at that moment? Like, were you ready to adopt a kid or work somewhere if you just make this go away?
You know what? I operate ignorance is bliss. I just kind of, you know, keep moving forward. And I never had a thought in my mind that it wasn't going to work out for me at the end of the night. Maybe that's says a lot about who I am as a person.
Confidence is key, Carl.
That's right.
Confidence is key.
Right.
Let me ask you this, sir. How big is your roster at the moment?
Oh, gentlemen. We're just talking in my current city, or my current city
worldwide.
I don't know, three or so. Yeah. One main Gumar. And then there's a couple that are kind of working their way through the pipeline.
Okay. Okay. So you could
up the rankings.
What you're saying is you're almost at a starting five. Are we almost there? Or do you have a starting five?
If I wanted to, yeah, there could be a starting five for sure.
Or you could go full Gene Hackman. My team's on the floor, Coach. We need another one out here. Right. No, my team's on the floor. Country Club, Carl Spackler. This is legendary. We appreciate your time, the story.
Yep.
We would like to know if there are any advancements in the story down the road. So TLC has your number, and let the saga continue.
Always available, guys. Good chat with you. Be nice to my guy Danny in Delaware.
Always. Love him.
Wait, appreciate. Had you ever heard of our radio show prior to this?
Well, you know, he loves to throw into the group chat about the conversations that you guys have. The difference is I'm busy on a Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock, where Danny, not so much.
Are you saying you have a job?
I don't get a chance to listen, but I was aware, and you got a follower now. I'm going to remain anonymous. I'll wait a few days before I follow you guys, but
I just feel like the one question that I don't really want to ask that you've already answered, which is, why would you go number two in her apartment? Like
it's comfortable.
Clearly comfortable.
It was life or death. It was coming whether I wanted to or not. Right.
Okay.
It was, I had no choice in the matter.
Okay. All right.
So,
look, I'm going for broke. In the event that she ever finds out, can we get her number and get her on the show too?
I don't think we want to do that.
I don't think it's going to work out so well for me. Yeah. No, I still got to live in the city.
You stay safe out here in these streets, Carl. Okay,
thanks, guys.
Stay safe
it.
Out here, man.
All right, man.
Thanks, Carl.
He's roaming the countryside.
The story keeps getting crazier.
I mean, she asked him to come upstairs.
The man has a girlfriend.
Well, he said long distance, so apparently it's doesn't cross state lines.
He's almost got a geographically
a free agent.
Unreal.
That's what he's claiming.
Unreal.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, that was some investigative journalism like no other over the last 2 days. Rick Bonus has talked to the media about Z and the rest. And we'll tell you what he had to say next.
Roth.org.
Your favorite fan shows are on YouTube.
Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth.
Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
The official heat wave has begun with heat alerts in place this afternoon, and feels like we'll be well into the triple digits. That sunshine turns to mostly clear skies tonight with not much recovery as lows get down into the 70s and even hotter on Wednesday with plenty of sunshine and feels like temperatures getting up around 105 degrees. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
I'll tell you what, man, you're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan. Give me a little Spider 2Y banana. Bring it in here, guys, man.
All right, so the Zach Werenski saga continues. And I think everybody's a little caught off guard by it. I am, slightly. I think everybody is. We have Zach on all the time. Guy's put in a lot of time here. 10 years. I read a quote or a tweet from John Buccigross from ESPN. And he's a big fan of Columbus. Big fan of when he comes here. Likes the team. Must be kind of an underdog type of guy. And I think he just wants good things for Columbus because he's seen the fan base and the loyalty. And that there's this always this phrase, oh, they deserve better. Okay, probably so. Probably so. And the run that Torts and Lars and Shawzy made was incredible. We've talked about it. And it's all Zach has really sniffed since being here. And so a half a dozen years in a row without making the playoffs, they've been close. I don't know. I think it's a little bit strong to put it all, you know, put it on Zach. Yes, he's a star player, but it's a team game, and he had the Olympics, didn't get a break, all that, plays 26 minutes a night. Like, anyway, he tweets this.
Real quick.
Yeah.
If people are in that headspace.
Oh, there are. Yeah.
That's crazy to me. He's not the problem. He's not the reason why they didn't have team success at the highest of levels. What's life like without a Zach Werenski? So that's what I don't understand when it comes to that. I can understand people being frustrated by the situation, but pointing the finger at him as the reason why the Blue Jackets haven't been in the mix, that's unconscionable to me. I think it's more about
the collapse of this year.
That's not a Z problem. Yeah. I don't look at it that way. How can the best player on the team be the problem when there are so many other issues around that?
Yeah, of course, but he did not play at that level in the last handful of games.
Okay.
When you need,
sure,
when,
but yeah, that's no, a I'm just saying, like yeah. That's a small percentage of what you we got think. From Z. His body of work to me is so
the
strong.
The whole team was struggling to put the puck in the net.
I can't
and all
look
that,
at
yeah.
Zach Werenski. That's the reason why.
But Bucci tweets this. In the 4 years since his extension kicked in, the Jackets have climbed from 31st to 29th to 20th to 18th in the NHL's overall standings. They've risen from 59 to 66 to 89 to 92 points in that span. And after putting up with all of that the last four seasons, now is when Werenski decides to hatch an escape plan. Now, that's what he tweets. I would only argue it this way. He's put in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
How close are they? He's saying in this tweet, he thinks they're close. To what? Making the playoffs?
And that's good enough?
Because
that's not the goal?
I love John. He's a great advocate for the game. Yeah. He loves the game.
Yeah.
But going this steady climb is fine for a guy who's in his first handful of years.
Right.
Not right. In the back end of his prime.
And especially, like, AR, like we've mentioned, when you go get a taste of success elsewhere and you come back to this, it's not the best tasting meal. It's not. And we do this thing that kind of drives me nuts where people make tweets like that and statements similar to that that are rooted in, well, this player's quitting or this player is weak mentally or whatever it may be. We always want the athlete to please us with how they go about their business. Oh, he took less money. Mm-hmm. He stayed in a city that's not LA, New York. We do these things that make us feel good, but if you're in their situation, you're probably making a similar call. So I try to be fair to these athletes in situations like this because I think it's always easy to play that card. Tough it out. Stick with the same team. Doesn't matter what roster's around you. You can go through all these different head coaches. That's what you're supposed to do when I don't think that's the reality of life. Because I think a lot of people, when they were be put in these situations with money or with the way the roster's constructed, they'd probably pull ripcord when they put in the time that Z put in. So that drives me nuts. Hearing those type of tweets and those type of takes, because I just don't think that's the way things work. Because I think a lot of people, AR, would seriously consider moving on, not in Z's case, but a lot of athletes that have been in a similar situation.
I see it from both ways. I see a loyal fan base that feels shunned. I see a loyal, good man in Zach not being able to definitively tell the club that he's good, that he wants to be here long term.
His non-answer is the answer.
That's right. Now, that doesn't mean they have to move him. Doesn't mean that. But they can't, they got to get ahead of it. And how he feels today may not be exactly how he feels in a year, but they can only go on what they know. And what they know now, and it feels like, and by the way, the coach talked. He's not pouring water on it. So all these people out there that are saying, oh, the national media is driving a wedge in this, and this is the clown that lit the fuse on it. They're reporting what they know and what they've heard and what they believe to be true. It doesn't mean he will absolutely get traded today, tomorrow, whatever, 2 weeks. But because that you have the 2 years.
Right.
But there's some risk to it. And even more so, there's distraction to it.
Mm-hmm.
There is. And it's the awkwardness of the fan base, not knowing whether to cheer or do something else because they're not sure. You could go into it, hey, he's still on the team. He's still wearing your sweater. Let's try to win him over. But in the back of your mind, you're like, is there anything we can do other than win? Now, Bones re-signed for the year thinking, I've got Z. I've got Marchie. I've got a goalie I might be able to count on. And now the job for my GM is to add to it. And so he's thinking, I'm going to have these guys and add to it.
Yeah. He may be thinking now, AR.
Yeah.
I may only have one of the three.
Well,
going
if you trade Werenski, you're going to get some good pieces.
No,
back.
But I'm saying of the three that you, Marchie, Jet, and Z, there's a chance that we start the season with one of the three.
So Bones talked to the media today on the uncertainty of the trade talk, and our guy, this is Brian Hedger's video from the Dispatch audio.
John is very good at keeping me abreast of what's going on. Those are conversations I'm out of, and I don't need to be part of those, right? I'm as shocked as anyone that these came up. I mean, at the end of the year meetings, we looked each other in the eye and had great meetings and gave each other a hug leaving and all that. So everything was good. So when this all broke, I was just shocked and caught off guard like everyone else. But it is what it is. And Don and this will look after with the players and their agent. And I'm going to coach who's ever here in September.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
My team's on the ice.
I'm 71 years old. If I would have known this right after the season, I wouldn't have run it back.
I think he was asked that, and I think there's nothing else he can say, but he did say that that wasn't...
Like, I honestly believe that, AR. If he would have known this, that Z would have been kind of, let's call it, 1 foot in, 1 foot out at the moment, Marchie would have made it known that he wants out as well, I don't think that he would have ran it back for 1 year.
By the way,
I don't think so.
Abreast?
Who said that?
He said, they keep me abreast.
That's kind of...
Nah, that's old school a little bit. I mean, I have no problem with him.
That is not a word that gets... That's the first time that word's been...
Keep you abreast?
Yeah.
I think that's more normal than a lot of the words you guys have dropped that you guys have
really?
Put... Yeah. I think abreast is pretty...
I don't think anybody's dropped in abreast on this show in my year and
yeah, but if
4 months
you're born
working
if you're
on
born
it.
In the 50s, I think it's okay.
Well,
I think if I would, keep me posted.
Yeah,
that would have been like
keep you up to date. Anything like
keep
that?
Me abreast.
But keep you abreast.
Keep me abreast of the situation.
I think that's a deep dive. He should have joined us at 2:00 because he was diving pretty deep into his vocabulary on that one.
Well, I'll tell you what he didn't do. He didn't say, "Well, this is the first I've heard of any of this." That he didn't say.
He knows where this is headed, and he dropped the dreaded line in there. It is what it is.
I'll coach the team they give me.
Whenever you hear it is what it is, that person's usually not in a great spot.
Yeah.
It's tough.
2 minutes, we come back with our friend Tyvus Powell, Rothman and Ice in the...
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's Tuesday, and Tyvus is here.
You have to recognize that one of his greatest strengths is his voice, which makes him sound sexy and smart and sexy and sexy.
It's Tuesdays with Tyvus. We'll talk about the Buckeyes, the Browns, and Tyvus's weight loss plans that he'll never follow up on.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Buy 4 windows, get 4 free sale. Visit windownation.com now.
He's the baller from Bedford. He's our friend Tyvus Powell, T-Bone and Tyvus in the morning here on The Fan. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. I've left on
baby duty while my kids and wife go to the swim park, the water park.
Okay. Yeah. I understand that. Now, if you would have had the choice, you would have switched, you would have traded spots with her, correct?
Or no.
Stay in the AC.
You know, this is one of those situations where it's, in my household, there are three males and three females. So the three males consist of myself, Trace, and my dog, Max. Us three is here. The other three are gone. So we're segregated.
How did you guys come up with the name for your dog, T? How did we get to Max?
So we started off as Jax, like J-A-X, okay, like the guy off Mortal Kombat. And everybody kept thinking we said Max, and everybody kept calling him Max. So we said, you know what? Bleep it. We'll just call him Max.
Okay, there it is. Okay, there it is. Easy enough.
All right, so I've got a, you know, I like to ask you certain questions and feelings and kind of quiz you on stuff. So here we go. And you have to answer this honestly. Do you want, well, first of all, answer this as a yes or no question. Do you want LeBron back on the Cavs?
Sure, I think it's great for the city.
Okay. So if you do want him back, do you want him back for, what's your percentage of nostalgic reasons, end it where it began, or legitimate basketball reasons that you believe having him on the Cavs gets them closer to a title?
I believe that having him on the Cavs definitely makes them have their chances better of winning the championship. I think that ultimately, I think it comes down to between the Cavs and the Warriors. I think that's where we are right now. The reason for the Warriors is because he's big on family, and Savannah is not trying to leave L.A. So Golden State is like a, what, two-hour flight away? So, boom, he could just, you know, catch the helicopter, catch the private jet. And you got Zuri, who's, what, 10, 11 years old? You want to be present in her life for a lot of stuff. So if the family isn't willing to move back, I think he's going to Golden State. But if he's trying to seriously win a championship, he needs to come to the East, because it's easier to win it in the East than the West.
So let's live in a world where he does pick the Golden State Warriors, and then the focus kind of shifts back to the Jaylen Brown possibility. Are you on board with moving off Donovan Mitchell to acquire Jaylen Brown? Because it kind of seems like that's what would need to happen, is that, because I would want Evan Mobley if I was Boston, but I've seen a lot of Donovan Mitchell would be the big piece to move over. How would you feel about a James Harden, Jaylen Brown, Evan Mobley trios to start off next year?
Call me crazy, but I like it. I think it's better. I think that we've come to the conclusion at the end of this season that Donovan Mitchell is not a number one. Okay. I think, and don't get me wrong, Donovan Mitchell has been great for the Cavs. He's a great guy off the, you don't have to worry about no character issues. He is just fantastic. But I just don't think that he is the guy that, I just don't feel comfortable giving him an extension because for that much money, like a max extension. Because if you go back to his playoff performances, like, let's take this year. He wasn't the Donovan that we've been accustomed seeing. And then if you take the years prior to this playoff run, he's always gotten hurt or dealing with something in the playoffs that doesn't allow him to truly be him. If that's who he is, he's only getting older. His body's going to continue to break down. I just don't think he's going to be there. He's going to be available to help you have that championship run. So I personally will move off. I know Jaylen Brown comes with some off-the-court issues. You know, him and Stephen A. got their beef thing going on. He's big into podcasting and all those things. But I think that the small guard thing don't work. I know Jalen Brunson just did it this year, and shout out to him. But that's something that doesn't happen often. I think that we just at a point now where – I don't know, Jaylen Brown gives you that two-way. You know, Donovan is a defensive liability because of his height. I think that Jaylen Brown gives you both offense and defense. He could be a great scorer. Mobley got to take the next step. If you get that, then you got something there. And James Harden, I don't even know why we even talking about him. He's done. He's a bona fide point guard. That's it.
The Cavs could, I guess they'd need to pay LeBron. Maddie was talking about how they'd need to pay LeBron more than the veteran minimum. And I was like, all right, yeah, I mean, you'd like to get him to $20 million or more per year.
Yeah, it was said, they were saying that they gotta, if they find a way to trade Dennis Schroeder and Max Strus, they could have the money to offer.
Not Jared Allen.
No, not Jared Allen. It's Dennis Schroeder and Max Strus. That's the two top. That's the two names that you're gonna hear for the next 24 hours on potentially being moved, and they're doing that to free up money for LeBron.
Okay. All right. Well, your vote is tabulated. You want him back, and I think most Cavs fans do.
I want him back, but I think he's going to Golden State.
Yeah, I think the Unks want to get together, because we mentioned earlier, Tyvus, how they're all under Clutch Agency. You know what I mean? And so I think they're all working together behind the scenes to make this happen. And I think it would be entertaining, right? Like, you got all these young teams out west. You get the Unks super team together and see what they can do. Very low percentage that they get to the regular season healthy, but if they get to the postseason, those four, what do you think they would be capable of? If we got AD,
I think it'll be great. If you go back and watch LeBron's episode of The Shop, they asked him who's the one player you want to play with outside of Bronny. He said Steph Curry,
and he saw what that looked like. They know it works
exactly. I think that it would be wonderful to see those two, both guys born in the same hospital. Shout out to that hospital in Akron. I have no problem with it. Does it? Everybody's like, it will tarnish his legacy and all of those things. Yeah, fair. That, you can say that. But, like, to me, if he would have did, it's not what Kevin Durant did. It's not the same, because that team is on the decline over there. Kevin Durant went to them after they just was the best team to ever play the game of basketball. So, record-wise, so that's why it's different there. So I don't know. They're all older, and it's all about them trying to get one more ring. And I think that legitimately, if those four guys come together, that's a good team if they stay healthy. Health is always the big thing with them. If they stay healthy, they got a shot to win it as anybody else does.
That's what I said to Maddie. I mean, if it's, you got to give up $5 million to match Kobe and Magic, then I think he'd be willing to do that. But sometimes it just goes to, not ego, it just goes to just psychological.
No, it's ego, AR. I think that's the appropriate word. Like, these guys, their ego, he doesn't want to accept less for perception because of his ego. I think you're right in saying that. Like, Tyvus, don't you think that's the case? Like, LeBron, if he signs the mid-level exception, I'm going to be shocked. But I think that's what it's going to take for him to play in Golden State. Like, LeBron making $15 million a year, will his ego allow that?
He is 41.
At this point, Maddie, if he goes to Golden State, his ego is already going out the door anyway, so you might as well go ahead and just go all in for one more year.
You're all in. You stay in Cali. You try to win a title. You try to match the guys I talked about winning five titles.
We never see guys do this, ever. The only guy that's done it is Jalen Brunson. Yeah. That's it.
And look what it led to.
One guy in the history of the league, right? Like, that's all I'm saying. And LeBron's never taken less anywhere he's gone, ever.
Is it true that him and Steph Curry have the exact same amount of rings?
Who? LeBron and Steph?
They both got four.
They both have four, yeah. They have four and Shaq has four.
So they gonna try to get five together and ride out, huh?
Well, they get five, then they match Magic, Kobe, Tim Duncan, then... Now you're in that neighborhood. They're not getting to MJ and Kareem.
Oh, yeah, they need each other. They might as well, you know. But like I said, if LeBron truly serious about winning the championship like that, then the Cavs is the easiest path, because they could probably just fly through the East, especially if Jaylen Brown gets traded.
Matty, minor upset that he chose the air conditioning over the water park.
Tyvus, being outside in this heat, nobody wants to be out there doing anything right now. So I think that was a favorite on the board.
Honestly, I'm trying to lose weight, so I don't mind sweating right now. You know, I might go out there and do me a little run around the block, do me a couple burpees. Yeah. I seen somebody comment on my 40-yard dash video that the fan put out where I said I was trying to lose 15 pounds. They told me if I just do burpees, I'll lose the 15 easy. So I might test the theory.
Why don't you go up to Berea and help Deshaun, because he's training and throwing, and you could, you know, throw a little resistance in there and... help him out. That would help you out.
He need to be doing ankle flexibility, Achilles flexibility. That's what he need to do.
Are you fully prepared to run a radio show tomorrow and be in the one chair? Are you prepared for that coming at you this week?
You know, Matty, it's just like having a kid. You're never truly ready for it. You just get in there and you make it happen. So tomorrow, if you tune in to T-Bone and Tyvus at 6 to 9 tomorrow, Tyvus and Josh Perry will attempt to make a show. We have Dylan Gonzalez there to keep everything straight, to make sure that we don't get kicked off the air. But you just never know what's going to happen until you show up. So that's what I'm doing. I have no plan. I'm winging it.
So you're not even going to make a prep sheet or anything? You just going in?
No. Me and Dylan have been together throwing ideas for a press sheet, so we got that. But as you know, sometimes the show goes off the rail. You don't even look down at the prep sheet anymore.
That's true. True that.
So you're gonna do what maybe a coach would do. You're gonna script plays out of the gate.
Yeah, we're gonna script the first 15,
all right.
And then we're gonna take it from there.
I love it. Well, we listening, bud.
Yep.
Have a good, relaxing day.
Go Bucks, go Cavs, go Guards, free Class A till it's backwards, take Ortiz, go Blue Jackets, shout out to the new coach who's going to take over for Bones after this season, and go Crew.
Well done. Anybody else?
Go Bedford.
Okay.
My high school. Okay. Shout out to Olin Tangy. That's where I stay. Shout out to the original Olin Tangy.
About to say, I think Orange is in some hot water right now.
Yeah. All right, Joe.
All right, see you, brother. See you, man.
I thought the Browns are in the middle of their summer break. It's like 7 weeks, and Deshaun says I'm going to spend my off weeks here working out.
Locked.
Spring ball. Throw to some local receivers. Have some local guys DB it up.
You know,
that's the place where you needed to be.
You know why else you make that move? Because you probably feel like coming out of minicamp, Shedeur Sanders is a little closer to my bumper than I wanted him to be. So let me stay
dialed
in.
Spend my summer in Cleveland.
This is a massive season for Deshaun to showcase who he is, not only to the Browns, but to the league, to see if he can get another
Coach
opportunity.
Munkin.
Old Todd. Shout out to Uncle Todd, man.
Amazing.
He's going to provide us some great pressers this year, Todd. Especially if they start losing. Oh, Todd Munkin's pressers are going to be must-see TV.
I think he's got a bigger leash than you think.
No. I'm saying like the entertainment of his press conferences if things go bad. Todd Munkin's a character, and so he's not going to hide how he's feeling at all.
Was the media hype fair to a certain player? We'll tell you next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
Garrett. Tyvus Powell is a contradiction. He'll police the food you have on your plate and shame you into dieting. Also, he has a burner Uber Eats account, so his wife doesn't know what he's eating. T-Bone and Tyvus.
Weekday mornings at 6.
The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Anthony can follow direction very well, as long as he first prints out MapQuest. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
My Buckeyes going to Texas, week two. Just the Longhorns and Buckeyes part due. Archie Manning is the grandfather. Arch Manning is the player. And the grandfather is thankful that his grandson won't have the insane media hype going into this season that some people say cursed him or hurt him psychologically. Only the family would know that the hype that he had before last season was incredible. And that's part and parcel to being a Manning and playing that position. Sorry, your two uncles are... One's Hall of Fame, one's Hall of Fame bound, perhaps, MVPs of Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Like,
and your grandson's not playing for Marshall.
Yeah.
He plays for Texas. You know, so there's always going to be eyeballs there. But he dropped this quote and said, I was kind of disappointed in a lot of people because the whole thing, they kind of crowned Arch before he ever played.
You want to crown him?
Crown him. And I just didn't think that was fair. Yeah, it was a little tough of a start. They played a great team in any way, but I've never been more proud of anybody in my life the way Arch battled through and what he did throughout the year and the way that he played, you know, the last eight or nine games of the season. But what did he expect going into last year? For nobody to talk about his grandson or highlight what he could be as a player, there was always going to be a high level of excitement because of who Arch was as a prospect. He had been talked about a ton as a high school guy because he was tearing it up, and rightfully so. And so who he was as a player, combined with what you mentioned with the last name on the back of the uni, the noise was always going to be loud, and it will always be loud this year and in the years to come, wherever he plays. Like, when he gets into the NFL, they're going to have so many primetime games with him under center, regardless of who the team is and how bad or good they are at the moment, because they know he's going to move the needle. And so Arch, I was thinking about this, without Brendan Sorsby in the mix for us as college football fans this season, is Arch Manning going to become a bit of a villain just because of fatigue and the amount of chatter around him? And I think there's a chance of that happening this year, that people are going to get to a point, and they may be there already, to where they're just kind of sick of the Arch Manning, Arch Manning, Arch Manning, because it's going to be 2 years running. I think he's got a chance, AR, to be a kind of a villain in this, in the minds of some, just because of how much he's talked about in the, quote, royal family of football.
That's it. It's not his fault. It's really not. I mean, I don't get that from him. Honestly,
seems like a chill dude. Like,
I don't get that.
I don't even know, honestly, if TLC played three consecutive clips of players right now that I would be able to identify his voice alone.
Yeah, it's not his fault.
Yeah,
he's got strengths because he's a very good quarterback.
Yeah, he can go,
and he's got to improve, and he needs a hot start, and he knows probably against Ohio State he needs to play really big, but I thought he got better. I remember coming in that Monday after the Texas game last year and saying that I don't believe he played as poorly as people claim he did. He didn't do a ton, but it was kind of an ugly game anyway for both.
Yeah.
It was a low-scoring game, and he almost had a chance to lead them back. So I think when people heard him about him going into the season, that it was like, this is going to be Peyton or Eli, and anything short of that, he's going to be labeled some sort of a, not a bust, but a guy that's been overhyped. And I'm not even reading his grandfather's message as anything poor. I think he's being honest, that he thinks it was probably too much too soon. Now, it's reality. Like, I don't think the reaction of, well, life isn't fair, I don't think that's what Archie Manning was angling for, that he was angling for sympathy or anything. I think he was just trying to describe maybe that it probably was a little bit too much too soon before he'd done anything. He was anointed this guy who's going to be the next Matt Stafford or Phillip Rivers or whomever, and I think there's no way anybody could live up to that right away. So maybe it was good that he went through a year like this. I mean, that's the only way you can really look at it. It's kind of similar to, and I know we're going to get this top of the hour, how I look at Ohio State this year, so I won't mention it now, but
it's good for
sometimes going through that
players and teams, and especially when you're a player of an Arch Manning's caliber coming out of high school, not playing a ton the first few years down there at Austin. It was never going to be perfect, but there was in the minds of some, because of how he was being talked about as, let's say, the next Andrew Luck or the next, you know, Trevor Lawrence when he was coming out of Clemson, and how he was talked about, Andrew Luck, like all these guys that were tabbed as the next generational talent at quarterback. That was the conversation around Arch last year. But then we saw, okay, he doesn't have everything figured out just now. There's a chance of that happening this year. I truly believe that, but we will talk about Ohio State's schedule at the top of the hour. This schedule for Texas is real too. Outside of the Ohio State game, when you look at going to LSU, going to obviously A&M, but hosting an Ole Miss, hosting an Oklahoma in a neutral site game, obviously that's not hosting, but those are the matchups that they have to deal with. But it's going to be awesome for all of us again this year to watch this group of quarterbacks, Arch included, try to live up to the hype, because the hype is as high as it's ever been as far as a draft class goes that I've heard in a pretty long time as far as the depth in a class, and he's supposed to be the leader of that, so we'll see what he can do. But you're right. Second half of the season, he looked the part. He looked the part, and so nobody's going to be shocked if he hits the ground running and looks really sharp in game two against the Scarlet and Gray.
And maybe it's better that Cooper is his dad, because Cooper was a receiver and he could run, and that's what he has over Peyton and Eli, that he can actually run. He can scramble.
Yeah, he can.
And that may be the difference, the design runs and the scrambles, the same way that Ryan Day wants Julian Sain to use his legs on big occasions. All right, we'll come back top of the hour. And is Ohio State already number one in this ranking? We'll tell you next. Rothman
today.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Ohio State wideout Jeremiah Smith and offensive lineman Austin Sarveld were named preseason first-team All-Americans by the Walter Camp Football Federation. Quarterback Julian Sand was named to the second team. Countdown to week one versus Ball State, now 67 days. From the NBA, per ESPN, LeBron James informed the Lakers he plans to play elsewhere next season. League sources told the NBA on Prime Video's Chris Haynes the Cavs have interest in a second reunion with James. Baseball, Guardians host the Rangers at 6:40. Cleveland one game out. First in the AL Central behind Chicago. Reds visit the Brewers at 7:40. Cincinnati five games out of a wild card spot. And in the World Cup round of 32, Norway leads Ivory Coast 1-0 at halftime. This update sponsored by Turbo Track Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kozik at Turbo Track Realty for a cash offer. Call 614-470-2000.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at OrthopedicOne.com.
All right, final hour of the program. Our friend Ian Fitzsimmons at 2:30 from ESPN. The Serena match is now going to be at 2:20. I think originally I thought it was like 12:30.
Yeah, I think
I don't know whether a center court match pushes it back. I feel like
they have to have her on the main broadcast.
Well, the Zverev match is on center court, and I'm making that assumption that it would be that. But either way, they'll be.
No, you'd be right.
Okay, I thought so.
If Zverev's on center court, then they're not playing until he's done.
He is on center court, and he's in there in a tiebreaker in the fourth. So,
what's his first name?
Alexander.
Okay. Oh, it's my middle name. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that.
What's going on over there?
TD saying what's up to Cal out there in the hallway. Yeah, I think that's what we heard.
Open mic night over there.
Serena is, what, 44 now?
Yes.
Yeah. Unreal. So she's just here
playing
for the
somebody less than half her age.
Just here for the vibes.
Yeah, she's
kind of like LeBron.
Yeah.
Good transition, AR. Radio professional.
It really is.
Remember that fake story back in the day that I definitely thought was real, that somebody was going to pay Serena and LeBron $1 billion to breed a child?
Be an elite athlete.
I thought that was a real story.
I don't remember that.
I don't think I've ever heard
I blocked that one out of there.
I fell for that story for years. And then I went back and looked it up. I'm like, hey, remember that story?
Yeah.
And then it was like in somebody's Wikipedia page. So like it was a real rumor, but it was a fake story that there was going to be a Russian billionaire who was going to pay, I guess, $500 million apiece to LeBron and Serena to breed
to him. Have a child and to train
yes.
as the most dominant athlete in the history of the world.
$500 million a piece.
Let me ask you guys, let me ask you guys this.
Oh man, yeah.
If you think that Arch Manning has a little pressure, imagine being the child of LeBron and Serena. What is that kid in for,
man,
other than a life of riches? But if that kid wants to be an athlete,
yeah.
Like, I almost would advise, I don't care how good you are, be something else.
Just be out of sight, out of mind, because as much as you can. Because in the sports world, there's just no way. You're never going to be able to.
Unless the theory works. And that the kid is so much better than mom and dad, it's not even funny.
You got me thinking now, AR. Is Arch Manning the
Faja or the grandson?
The grandson. Okay. Yeah, not Archie. Arch.
He was put in a bad situation, by the way. His grandfather. Like, he played on a horrible Saints. Like, that's the whole paper bags over the heads. Anyway, he was just destroyed on a football field.
I do like when fans do that, though. I'm here for it.
They still wear the bags?
I think that's still a thing. I still think that's a thing. I was going to ask you this.
A police officer that tells somebody they pulled over. I'm a Vikings fan, unfortunately.
Got a text from KOC right here. It worked. She got out of it. It worked.
Thanks for unburdening yourself.
I'm fully convinced that if she did not have that text string with Kevin O'Connell, she's getting a speeding ticket or a distracted driving ticket, whatever they label when you're texting and driving or whatever. I think that worked. That did it for her. It did.
So what was your Archie Manning?
Oh, I was going to ask, like, he is kids that are coming from royal families or kids that are obviously birthed from a former great athlete, he's the one in the world of sports right now that is under the most pressure, right? Because Bronny, nobody is expecting anything from Bronny anymore. We kind of know what that is.
There's another kid. Yes,
Tali.
That's right. But it's not. I think it's golf is different.
Did you guys already say the update on Bronny's contract?
That LeBron looked out for him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Made sure his son got the guaranteed money before he made this move from the Lakers. Yeah, so that was out there. So, yes, LeBron announces today that he no longer wants to be a Laker. But prior to that announcement, the Lakers picked up Bronny's option for next year, which will guarantee him $2 million. So he looked out for his son.
Mm-hmm.
Good pops. Good dad of the year right there.
No, Charlie Woods is not under that because it's just, there's no guarantee. I mean, he's got a great head start, but to make it on the tour, to win a tournament on the main, to be in a major, like all that, I mean.
He's a freshman at Florida State right now?
I don't know. Probably. Yeah, it sounds like
commit to Florida State. Is he even there yet? But yeah,
he's 17.
Okay, so he's probably a freshman there. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, AR, when he gets to tour.
If he does
get to the PGA Tour.
I mean, he qualified for the USAM, but.
Yeah. He's far away, I think, from feeling that. Arch is smack dab in the middle of it, especially this season.
Yeah.
With him having to separate himself from the pack of quarterbacks this year and the legacy that he's got to live up to. I don't know if there's another kid walking around right now that's having to fill those shoes from a family member or their father.
When you show promise, that's when the pressure comes. When you have that kind of promise. It never happened with Jordan's kid or Jared Payton or like it never really happened because they never got, quote, good enough where people say, oh, wait a minute, could he be?
Yeah.
This isn't Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Sr. This isn't the Hulls in hockey. Like, I think you've got to get to a certain level. I mean, Steph and Dell, I mean that, but Dell was never as famous as Steph was.
What about Howie and Chris Long? Because Chris Long was drafted second overall.
Mm-hmm. UVA?
Chris. Yes. You'd say Kyle?
Chris.
Okay.
Although Kyle was also a first round.
That's right. So he's got two. He's almost like the Mannings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or the
But you have to be a certain level where then the pressure comes along for the ride.
Jake Matthews. First round pick. Bruce's son.
Like, I don't know if Jerry Rice's son ever felt pressure.
No, he's like a seventh round pick.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, even his time at USC, like, I don't think he ever was, hey, your dad's Jerry Rice, you're supposed to be this. I don't remember hearing that about him as a player. And so it's I guess, it hits differently for certain guys because when you're Jerry Rice's son and you play the exact same position as your dad, who was tabbed as arguably the best to ever do it, you would think that naturally what comes along with that is you're supposed to be at least this. And I don't think he ever had that
expectation.
What helps
is when the father was a noted athlete, professional athlete, but not a legend.
Yeah.
Like Bobby Witt and Bobby Witt Jr.
Well, I was going to say Bobby Bonds and Barry Bonds.
Uh-huh. Yes.
That's where I was going to go. Or
Clay and Cody Bellinger.
Oh, your guy, Vlad Guerrero.
Yeah. Oh, that's he's got his name.
He might be, his dad,
Yeah. I mean, his dad was a multiple All-Star. His dad's Hall of Famer.
No, I understand what you guys are saying there. I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to think of, he's not going to get there, his son, but I think his son is going to be in that ballpark of how good of a player was he compared to your dad. I think he's going to be
pretty close. Yeah, but that's a tough one.
You sound like a bitter dinger draft owner right now.
Every time I look at his stat line, I'm just disgusted.
Give him the good news.
How does he have four home runs at this point? Four. We're going into July. Could someone explain this
to me?
What's
his batting average?
It's actually not horrible.
It's really good.
That's right.
It's actually not horrible.
I saw a tweet one time. It's actually
really
funny.
So no one's saying anything.
He is. I think it's like 265 or something like that.
He's getting
on base. I might be shortchanging him. But no, AR, the news that you were touching on was
the good news.
We found out.
Hey, have you heard the news?
Your boy Junior Caminero participating in the home run derby.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled with that.
Let's go, AR. Mm-hmm.
I want him to torque that spine and I want him to corkscrew himself into home plate.
You know
all
what they
night
say.
Long.
They say that guys screw up their swings participating in the
this
home run derby.
This is exactly what we needed.
I did see that. I didn't get a good feeling when I saw that.
Here's the thing that I'm fearful of, and I correct me if I'm wrong, fellas. I am pretty sure he participated last year and still ended up with a ton of dingers. So I don't want us to get too excited, but I think it's a bit of a win for us. But I'm pretty sure he was in last year's home run derby, okay, and he finished a season ago with 45 dingers.
Yeah, well. Is it Wrigley Field this year?
Nobody can
do
it forever.
Where are we?
No, Philly, I think.
The bank?
I think so.
It's in Philly. Okay.
Citizens Bank?
Yeah.
And he had 45 and 110 last year. He's already got 22 and 49.
Oh, he's a young guy.
Well, I drafted him because of the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, he was going crazy. He was going crazy in that. Absolutely.
Well, we got to reach it. I got to grab something. I mean, I got to get some hope somewhere.
That I'm would with be great. You. I'm grabbing that because we need anything to slow him down. He's the guy.
Hot and sweaty night.
I might have numerous because I got so many guys who are like sitting at 20-ish, like Olsen, Kurtz. Those guys could be.
You know,
I'm going to have a whole team breaking their swings for the second half.
I think AR is going to have a guy in there too. I think Kyle Schwarber will do it.
Yeah.
In Philly.
Yeah, we can't avoid it. We can't all avoid it.
Yeah, he's definitely doing it, Schwarber.
Just need his guys to advance and keep advancing.
Wear them down.
I'm telling you, I think my way out of this is to bet on one of those guys to lead the league.
We got to curse him like we're Danhausen. We have to curse his team somehow.
I don't believe in jinxes, so have at it. Be my guest.
Yeah, he printed his own.
He really did. He really did.
And it worked.
He said, Matty Ice, pick the restaurant. Where are we going, big dog?
Get that coho salmon and Caesar ready to go.
Injuries are always possible, and if they come, because I talked about them.
We do want to talk about Ohio State football on the recruiting trail, big one, and then also maybe their secret weapon this year, Roth.org.
Join our degenerate gamblers, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, every Sunday morning at 9 for On the Money.
Presented by Krieger Ford, your best bet for a new car or truck. Visit Krieger Ford on Morse Road today or go online at KriegerFord.com.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
The official heat wave has begun with heat alerts in place this afternoon and feels like we'll be well into the triple digits. That sunshine turns to mostly clear skies tonight with not much recovery as lows get down into the 70s and even hotter on Wednesday with plenty of sunshine and feels like temperatures getting up around 105 degrees. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan. Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, Buckeyes added another one, it looks like, here.
Yes, they did.
By another one. Five-star kid. DJ Jacobs, defensive end, committed to Ohio State. He's the son of a former Georgia defensive tackle, and he's the godson of ex-Georgia coach Mark Richt.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I guess he's one of the more productive high school kids in the 27 class. 6'5", 2 1/4, off the edge, more than 100 tackles, 16 sacks his junior year, committed to Ohio State over Miami, Georgia, Texas A&M.
Okay.
That's one school, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, and Oregon.
It seems to me that when you look at this 2027 class that's starting to come together, that there's a heavy emphasis and focus on the trenches because they're racking up, you know, according to 24/7 or whatever recruiting stuff you like to look at, some of these top 100 guys around the country, and there's few of these guys that are in the trenches, offensive line and defensive line. And so what they've done here recently, you got to love to see it because I think this is Ryan Day and his staff looking at what happened at the end of the year and saying, we don't ever want to feel that and go down that path again. Not that they've ignored trench stuff in the past, but it just seems to me, AR, that you look at the handful of guys in that 2027 class and there's a heavy focus on that and they're cashing in. They're getting those guys to commit. So that's encouraging.
If he signs, which it sounds like he might.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't flip, and there'll be schools that will try to flip him, then he'll be the highest rated defensive guy since Jack Sawyer.
What high school did Jack go to? Can you remind me of that?
One of those places in Pickerington. I can't quite
recall. Can you remind me what high school Jack Sawyer went to?
Pickerington North.
There we go, baby. There we go. So, yeah, you know, that I love to hear that. Mm-hmm. Whenever there's good to great guys on paper that are playing the trenches, let's start there. We know the skill stuff is always good here at Ohio State. You get that in order, then you're talking about a really, really good product.
Heard a lot about Ohio State's schedule and how tough it's going to be, and it will be. On paper, it certainly is there. On three, put out some rankings. And they have it as the toughest schedule in the country. Is that correct?
That is our guy, Ari Wasserman, who lined up.
3-2-1.
Lined up the toughest Big Ten schedules in the 2026 cycle. He's got Ohio State 1, Michigan 2, Northwestern 3, Oregon 4, and USC 5. So that conversation continues. And Ari not only threw that out there, but then he also said, I think Ohio State may have the toughest schedule in the country this year. He's not the first person to say that. We've been hearing that for a while. As soon as you saw the schedule, AR, you called it a gauntlet. So everybody's in on this.
That was based on
the reaction from some people.
The reaction was...
That wasn't loud enough, TLC.
I gotta crank that up and play it again.
Let's go.
It's a gauntlet. Reaction was from people basically saying, I don't know if Ohio State should play football this year. This schedule is way too tough.
Oh,
what a mess the fan is.
Exactly.
They'll be underdogs in every game they play.
It just got a
little over the top on... The reason I keep saying it is because they will be battle-tested.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think they got to the end of last year feeling that way.
No,
didn't mean they couldn't win. They almost did.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something to be said for being tested. It's not a cliche. Whether you win or lose, now you can't go over.
Which they won't.
Okay.
In the big game this year.
You can't do that.
Right. But you got to your point, you have wiggle room. And so now
it's so good for a team to sharpen their axe. Like it is.
I'm coming around to that. I really am coming around to that because Ohio State can beat anybody anywhere, but we saw last year that while yes, the Texas game provided some resistance early on. After that, there wasn't much of that going on. And then you get to Indiana and Miami, and we know the story. And so now, when you do have Oregon and USC and Texas and all these other teams on your schedule with a sneaky game to Kinnick and all of that baked into it as well, yeah, they're going to be better for it. So you just got to worry about, obviously, the result, because to your point, you can't rack up 3-4 losses. That's not where you want to be. And I don't think that's going to happen. And then fingers crossed that everybody can stay, or the majority of guys can stay healthy. Everybody's not going to stay healthy in that sport. That would be crazy. But yeah, like I understand what people are saying. You look at the schedule on paper, you're going to be hard pressed in the Big Ten or outside of the country to find schedules that are tougher than that. There may be some schedules that are close to it or on the same level. But yeah, on paper, this is a huge one in 2026, but this is what it's all about, is finding out who you really are along the way, getting the answers and getting to the ultimate test, which is the college football playoff, and hopefully having the muscle memory and the information to go back to what could go wrong in some of those big-time regular season games.
They'll have three top 10 teams on their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon, Indiana, Texas... That'll be there.
And then probably another, top 20 team with USC? Probably start
USC
the year.
USC could easily be top 20, maybe top 15.
Yeah.
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 And Michigan could be top 25.
Mm-hmm.
Where they are when Ohio State plays them, we'll see.
Who knows?
But yeah, it's all there.
You mentioned the recruiting addition. Pete Thamel just tweeted this out just a few moments ago. Ohio State is hiring veteran NFL scout Andy Howell as a college scout. He's worked 14 seasons in the NFL with the Browns, Jets, and the Dolphins for the last 10 years. Howell, who is from the Cleveland area, is a significant addition to OSU's personnel and recruiting department as he makes the 12th full-time front office employee for the Buckeyes. Howell, who also has college experience with Western Michigan, will play a big role in preparing OSU for the transfer portal as the Buckeyes expand the front office to accommodate the evolving college landscape.
Browns, Jets, and Dolphins. Now, there's a guy with an eye for talent.
He was with the Dolphins for a while, and they did have talent. Like, over the last 8 years, I think he was with them for a while. He had a pretty long tenure there. But this is not unusual that...
TLC's
throwing me now. This is not unusual that teams have scouting staff changes following an NFL draft, so the fresh scouting cycle can be looked at with new scouts in place. So when Miami did that, he was the collateral damage to that.
New regime comes in. We see it a lot, right? Whether it's players on the field or people in the front office, new guys come in and they want their people around them. What's crazy to me,
TLC ripped up his resume the second he saw it.
Immediately after I read it, just cooked the guy's resume. But hearing Pete Thamel describe this as a front office employee at the college level, it's crazy, but it shouldn't be crazy.
It's crazy.
but college football is mirroring so much of what the NFL is now. Like, colleges are now hiring GMs. They're now hiring front office personnel. Like, it's crazy, AR.
So how much recruiting do the coaches have to do now in terms of, like, traveling the country?
Maybe they're more like a closer.
Yeah, because now you have... front offices who are geared towards building the roster. And so obviously they would take over certainly a fraction of that. I just don't know how much.
Send in the money man. I want to talk to him. Who's that?
Yeah, basically.
So there's that. Okay. There's that, some good recruiting stuff going on. And then you got an addition.
This NIL thing that's going on.
I'm laughing because one of my teachers from college just hit me up and said, I swear I thought the same thing. Browns, Jets, Dolphins? That's tough. That is a lot.
Well, maybe finally wanted to join a winner.
Yeah, like Patricia and Arthur Smith.
Yeah, let's go.
Speaking of.
It's just that simple.
Hey, when are they coming in studio?
When is... Oh, I don't... What do you mean, when? What are they? What do we have, a conveyor belt of guests?
We got to call Fantasia and get him in.
It's the summer. Everybody's gone, except us.
Fantasia, like the singer?
Yeah.
Fantasia.
What's she up to? I haven't heard from her in a minute.
Fantasia.
What a grip. She won American Idol, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Thought so.
The odds of LeBron picking his team, the Cavs are an underdog.
Favorites to Warriors?
Big time.
Are the Cavs the second favorite on the board?
They are.
Okay. The third favorite. Ooh. Is the third favorite.
I think you can get this one. The Spurs.
That's a good guess because I did think about them.
Theme music ready just in case.
But I don't think they're going to be the third favorite, TLC.
Have you seen this?
I think it's Miami. But I don't have confidence in that because where are Pat Riley and LeBron at with their relationship?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel better about Miami than San Antonio. Who's third favorite on the board?
It's Miami.
Okay, there we go. Oh, wait.
Just kidding. False start. I really thought he was going to say San Antonio.
LeBron and Steph joining forces in Golden State.
Yeah.
Is looking likely.
I'm here for it. Why not? What do they have to lose? Their legacies are cemented. This is just for a good time.
Throw him on New York. Let him just... ride that coattail.
Did you guys already forecast when he's going to make his decision? If he's going to be like an Aaron Rodgers and take forever, or if he's like going to commit in the next 2 days?
I'd be surprised if this is a 48-hour thing. I don't
think he just informed the Lakers. Yeah. I don't
think this is going to be a dragging out thing. Like, I really don't. I think behind the scenes...
He might not appreciate that. Like, I think he might like the talk for a little bit. Where is he going to go? Who is he going to play for?
Sure.
Wine and dine me.
Sure, I guess. I don't think any of this happens, TLC, until Anthony Davis is there. So I think if we find out that Golden State has traded for Anthony Davis, I wouldn't be surprised if soon after that he says, all right, I'm going to the Bay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for, AR. That's the breadcrumb that the biggest breadcrumb for me to follow is AD being traded. And then it's really on.
We should all retire together, too. Just all walk off the court.
I think that's probably going to happen, honestly.
And now Golden State's going to have to rebuild an entire roster.
Hey, it's a great run. 2 minutes, we come back with our friend Ian Fitzsimmons of ESPN. Rothman
Strong.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Now you can watch Rothman and Ice.
Go to YouTube and search 97.1 The Fan.
Rothman is wearing the pancake makeup, so you might as well watch. Back to Rothman and Ice.
He's our guy, ESPN's own Ian Fitzsimmons, co-host of Amber and Ian, 8 to 10 p.m. nightly on the mothership. My man, it's good to have you back. I don't know where you are right now, but put a pin on your location for us.
Park City, Utah, my brother. Every summer we come out here. So good friends of ours have a beautiful home in Deer Crest right there in Deer Valley. And they just give us the house for our brother's reunion every year. So, I mean, when you can't afford it, it's good to know people that can. So there you go, man.
Best
so
kind of year, place, right?
It is. We trade in, the snow bunnies and all those, and that scene for poolside at the St. Regis and watching a parade down Main Street in Park City, Utah, which is God's country. So that's where I am, partner.
All right. I love that. So are you an outdoorsy guy? Does Ian like to get dragged on like a hiking trail or anything like that? Or I heard pool in there. That sounds good.
Before 17 cuts on my right foot, hell yeah. Roland was actually born out here when I was with the Utah Jazz Radio Network when I left Columbus. So it's just kind of, this place is special to us, man. And I used to love going on hikes. My sanctuary is the river. Because I used to be a guide on the Snake River out in Wilson, Wyoming. So you put me on the river, brother, and I'm good, man. I'm my heart beats about once a minute. Okay. But I tell you this, bro, the altitude out here is a bitch. Because it took me a good day, man, before I started to catch my breath again. I mean, we're up here, partner. I'm just that pathetic a shape. But I think it's probably more the latter than the former.
We got about mid 90s in Columbus right now. Where are you at out there, temperature wise, right now?
57 degrees, brother.
Did you say 57, Fitzy?
57. Wow. It's 110 heat index in that blast furnace that I left down in Dallas, Texas. So that's another reason that we get the hell out of Dodge every year.
I get it. I get it, man. Good living. Hey, we were reacting earlier to some comments from Archie Manning about Arch, and my mind went to this, Fitzy. Without Brendan Sorsby now in the mix of the college football world, is there a player not named Arch Manning that has more pressure than he does this year on him to produce?
Man, he's got to be number one. It's just because, one, we talked about this a little bit last week, where he got so much better from when he played the Buckeyes to the end of the year. He was a completely different quarterback. So, but now he's got to take another step. And that team is loaded, man. They got two of the best running backs out of the portal. They already had two, and they're stable. They got two of the best wide receivers out of the portal, one of the best offensive linemen, one of the best DBs. They are loaded. So now he's got to deliver. And I'm talking like national championship game type delivery. And so Arch is number one. I'd say Dante Moore, number two. Have you seen their campaign out in Japan? My daughter showed me this yesterday.
No.
It's crazy, man. They got like all the like, you know, Evan Stewart and Dante Moore. I mean, the who's who of the Ducks. How long are they out there for?
I don't know. Next 2 days. They're doing that 7v7.
Yeah, they did a 7v7 tournament over in Japan. What's Lanning doing, man? Recruiting like sumo wrestlers for offensive linemen? I mean, good Lord.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, but I mean, that's some serious pub they're getting, not just nationally, but internationally for Dante Moore. And he came back to prove that he can be an even better quarterback, and it was the right decision to come back, even though he would have been number two overall. One, he ain't going to the Jets, and two, he gets a lot more experience, and he needs it. He's only started 15 games.
We had also discussed last week about if Notre Dame could do what a lot of people think is unthinkable, them actually breaking through and winning at all. They seem to bump their head on the ceiling when they get close, but if they could do that, does that legitimize and validate and secure them, like we've sidestepped joining a conference forever, and we love our independence, and now that this thing keeps expanding and we're kind of top 12 protected anyway, like what that would mean for the sport and them, like if they could legitimize that they would never have to join anywhere Are you in that camp of that Notre Dame will be independent for as long as we're alive?
I've been in that camp since I've been alive. Yeah. 54 years on this earth, brother, and there's no reason to. They keep all that NBC money. They keep all their college football playoff money. They keep everything, man. I mean, so, and look, it's not like Marcus Freeman hasn't already gotten to a national championship game. I was there. I called it, and the Buckeyes beat them. But that was a pretty damn good Notre Dame football team. But they are, again, everything I just said about Texas, you say the same thing about Notre Dame right now. And they also are loaded. Now, they lose one of the most complete football players and their star running back, obviously going in the top five in the NFL draft. But, man, they're to that point right now. They're just reloading. So if they were able to win it all, yeah, that just solidifies and get what they've done for 40 years, and they can give everybody two football fingers, not even one. There you go.
Yeah. So let's zoom out from college football for a moment, because I want to get your take on this LeBron stuff, Fitzy. And what would be the most entertaining next stop for you personally? Is it linking up with the Unks in Golden State? Is it going back home to Cleveland? Or is it going back to South Beach and linking up with Giannis? When it comes to LeBron and what's next, what would you like to see him do?
What I want to see him do is go back to Cleveland, where it all started. It's not like they're not a damn good basketball team. I mean, they were just in the Eastern Conference Finals. So that's number one. I don't want to see him go to Golden State, because it's not like he and Steph are in their prime right now to finally play together. So we've seen them in the Olympics, but that to me, that feels like ring chasing. You know, going to Miami and partnering up, you know, with I'm having a brain.
With Giannis.
I mean, the summer of Giannis wasn't even that long, thank goodness, this time, right? So I'm already tired of the summer of LeBron now. But it looks like ring chasing. So to me, there's one option, and that is to go back to Cleveland.
I guess the financial situation is tricky, but I'm with you. At 41 years of age, I would think that wouldn't be his number one priority. They could work out something.
Yeah, you say that. We're not the ones taking like a $40 million pay cut.
Yeah. Listen, and that goes to pride and ego and all that. But now, if he comes home on a minimum deal, which is what it would be in Cleveland, that would be considerably less than what Golden State and other teams could offer. I do think it is probably a three-horse race. But listen, we don't know where his heart is. We really don't. And if he wants the storybook ending that you're talking about, like, I had a buddy of mine text me the other day and said he's playing golf at Firestone yesterday and he's back. And so I like the sound of it. And you're right.
Hey, how do you do on the long par four?
Right.
16 at Firestone?
How many are there? There are plenty out there. that's a par five for the amateurs like me. But when Jordan played there, I think he stayed in one of those little villas off the hole there. And I think LeBron has plenty of places he could stay if he wants to come back and play golf. But I'm with you. It's not like it's just coming back to Cleveland for a ceremonial ending. They actually have a team, so that would help him a lot. Maddie's in my camp of it's almost more of a two-horse race. I don't even know if the Miami thing and LeBron Big Three in Miami, everyone has seen that movie.
100%. Yeah, look, like I said, to me, there's one option. And the way L.A. treated him on the way out was pretty pathetic, in my opinion, where they're celebrating J.J. Redick's 100th win in his career as a head coach. And I can't remember the milestone LeBron just broke in that same game, and they got, you know, all this pomp and circumstance and a framed ball for Redick. And LeBron's over there going, y'all know that I just broke a major milestone, and you're treating me like I'm a nobody, and I'm one of the best to ever play the game, and I delivered a title here in 2020. So obviously they called in the punt team, or LeBron called in the punt team. But to me, I can't emphasize it enough. There's one option, and that is to go back home where it all started.
You're down there in Texas. Just to switch gears one more time on you, I couldn't help but have a pretty interesting reaction to the report coming out of Houston, Fitzy, that the contract talks between the Texans and C.J. Stroud are, quote, on pause. What do you think of that?
Posturing. You know, whenever this stuff gets played out in the media, that to me is always kind of a just,
you know, a give and take, a yin and yang between the organization and the agent and the player. So I'm assuming what you're going to tell me next is that he stripped all social media of any Texans logos, like a, you know, like a high school, you know, sweetheart that's been dissed. So that one always drives me nuts. What are you taking down your social media stuff
hey,
for?
I'll say this.
Oh, we just broke up. Oh, you hurt my feelings. Shut the hell up.
I'll say this, Fitzy. I'd rather have that than what Brandon Ayuk is currently doing.
Well, look, man, we got to check some status in between the ears on Ayuk right now. That's a whole different animal, man. That's next level that he's doing.
Crazy, crazy.
So, all right, we'll get you back.
You mentioned Jordan in golf. On July 3rd, I will be playing the Mountain Course, which he described as one of the most beautiful courses he's ever set foot on. And it's a public course. It's a muni. It's $36 to go play. You got to book your tee time a month in advance to get on the damn thing. Can't wait.
Or be Ian Fitzsimmons, and that'll get you on as well.
Facts.
I might get you thrown off.
All right. We'll send you back to the Union Pacific Trail, and you can town lift yourself back into the square and have an awesome time, brother. Be well.
Can't wait. I'll send pictures.
Please
bye,
do.
Kids.
See you, pal.
Fitzy.
There he is. Ian Fitzsimmons, ESPN, nightly, 8 to 10, Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. We will come back with Tell the Truth, Rothbard.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by The Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, before TLC takes us home, Serena's on center court playing the 20 or 21-year-old Maya Joint from Australia.
She's about to get in her 2019 Masters bag here, AR, Tiger Woods style. Would that be the equivalent of this?
No, she'd have to win it.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if she won this, would that
be... It'd be more than that.
More than that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It'd be more than that. Well, I don't think she has enough...
If she wins tournament two toughness, matches...
Two matches would be probably the goal.
Okay.
Two matches.
Well, that'd be a very high-end achievement.
I think a lot of people believe that she, from just a... intimidation standpoint, but I don't know how she can be tournament tough. I mean, she's been practicing. I mean, I don't know how much weight she's lost, but she certainly looks svelte.
The fact that she's out there with her wedding ring on is wild. But I guess when you're married to a billionaire and you have the bank account you have, it doesn't matter if something happens. But she's out there with that big old diamond on her finger.
It's on the non-racket hand,
it's
Maddie.
Crazy.
That's fine.
I don't think I've ever seen that. Like, you see guys in the NFL, baseball, whatever, with, like, the rubber.
I don't even think it's wedding band. It's the actual engagement ring.
That's what I'm saying. That's the diamond she's out there with.
Okay. All right.
Because her husband invented Reddit. Yeah. So, his net worth has to be silly.
Oh, he's a billionaire with the B.
Silly. Now I need to know.
He's a man who needs to know.
Alexis Ohanian. In fact, they named their daughter Alexis Jr.
He's a billionaire off something I don't even know or use.
Reddit?
Which is
the only female that I'm familiar with that is a junior, and it's a female named after her dad.
That's a first for me, too. That's a first for me. All right, give me guesses for what you think his net worth is.
Over $1 billion. Fine, I'll play the game. 2.3.
AR?
I wouldn't have a clue, so I'll go just under.
According to Google,
who knows?
I'm getting his estimated net worth is $150 million.
Oh, I'm that far off?
I thought it would be a lot higher than that. Billion felt little bit up
Rothman
there.
Rothman beat me, I guess.
Damn right I did. All right. TLC, take us home.
Yeah.
Real quick, though.
He was just kidding.
He was an early stage investor in billion-dollar companies like Coinbase, Instacart, and Patreon. So I don't know.
I've heard of Instacart. And Patreon, actually.
Patreon, yeah. He may be worth a little bit more than $150 million, but whatever.
Yeah.
They're rolling in it, both of them.
I ain't taking that. How many of your former teachers became your friends in adulthood? Inspired by a statement made a couple segments ago.
My gym teacher in middle school turned out to be my high school varsity baseball coach, who then I ended up coaching with for a couple years. And so that was a really cool cycle for me, because when I was in sixth grade, I was intimidated by him and I thought he was a little bit of a blank, honestly. Wasn't the nicest guy.
A Richard?
Yeah, wasn't one of the nicest guys.
Richard.
And then get to high school and I love him. So shout out to Coach Thomas, man. Went from being my gym teacher in middle school to my high school coach, coached with him. Mm-hmm. Great dude. So yeah, Coach Thomas is one of those guys for me. My guy.
I mean, I've been away for so long. I don't think I had any friends that were my teachers.
Yeah, teachers didn't want to be friends with me.
I will tell you, I did like a few that would stick with me the rest of my life, just on their impact on me.
Okay.
But I never really reached out or wanted, just, it's weird because, you know, the age gap would be kind of interesting, but no.
No, okay.
I've even hit a couple 340 in my life.
If you played in a World Cup game, how many minutes would you last before subbing yourself out?
Before I went full Anthony Richardson?
Yeah. Just
tap out?
Oh, man. My cardio is not where it needs to be at the moment, TLC. So I probably got a good 10 minutes in me for I need a sub.
Yeah, I was going to say the 3 minutes.
Just sprinting back and forth for about 10 minutes is all I got. And then I need to sit down for a minute. That's all you're doing. You're just running and running and running and running.
Well, I'm watching now. They're not running right this second.
You can take some walking breaks when the ball's not near you.
Fellas, 90% of the game, you're running in soccer.
I mean, it's not like they're always skating. I mean, they're just, I mean, yeah.
But yeah,
you got to run.
You got to be in game shape too, bro. Like when I played that.
Thanks, bro.
That 3-on-3.
Did you drop a bro in there when you said that?
Yeah,
he did.
You've got to be in game shape, bruh. Is that what I heard?
You got to be in game shape, bruh.
I think it was so natural for you to throw that in there.
It was smooth.
I felt like we were just all sitting at a bar on a Saturday night.
Bro,
you got to be in shape, bro.
As soon as you interrupted me, I'm like, I know exactly what he's about to point out.
He was not Matty. He was not getting that by me.
That fastball was not.
I was at least going to foul it off.
You put that in play.
Yeah, right.
I put that in play. I forget what I was going to say. When I played in that 3-on-3 tournament with Reimer and Isaiah, it's not just like, how much can you run? It's like the change of direction hurts your body.
Oh, yeah. That is.
I'm like, my back is about to give out.
There's been plenty of times.
And I'm not old.
There's been plenty of times, CLC, where I've like been at the gym running in on the treadmill, and then people have come ask me to hoop or whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, like, I'm in pretty good shape.
Like, yeah,
I've been running.
Ran on the treadmill.
Then you get out there on the court and you're gassed. And you're like, I've been running, but there's something to what you're talking about.
When you're like cutting and starting and stopping, it's like that does like send shockwaves through your body that just a normal casual jog at a steady pace does not.
Doesn't do it.
No.
Bro.
Did the WNBA
save that?
Bruh. Did the WNBA intentionally snub Caitlin Clark on their WNBA 30 poster? Did you see this?
Like the celebration of 30 years as a league.
Okay. So they have a poster that's for sale on their online website where they made like a 30th anniversary poster with I think like 20 key players, some from today, some from like 10 years ago, some from 20 years ago.
It is a bit of an upset. She's not on that. Yeah, because would have expected her to be somewhere on that.
No, not that Caitlin Clark needs to be there above everybody, but the key points were Angel Reese and Paige Beckers are on it, and Caitlin Clark is not.
Then that makes zero sense to me, especially since Paige is on it.
So where does the disrespect come from? I don't get it.
I wasn't even using the word disrespect. Okay. I just said, is it intentional? Did they just forget, or were they like, no, she doesn't? She doesn't cut it.
This says the reason why Caitlin's not on the poster is, you ready, Caitlin Clark herself. Other than Nike, Clark allows licenses like Wincraft, which makes...
Oh.
So maybe she didn't allow herself to be on there?
That would make more sense. That would make more sense.
And that's weak on her part.
Oh, well then, forget my question, bro.
We got to go. Rothman and I...